History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. A Wednesday podcast for you, a day after the storms. If they got you, I apologize. Certainly didn't get me where I was, but I know around the area, not great. So I'm here with Rami. Al is still off. He'll be back on Monday. Good morning, afternoon, evening, Rami. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
Afternoon and evening, because yes. You never know when this thing gets posted.
Yes, that's true.
So on the show today, a couple of different things that popped up. One was the testicle situation from the poor kid from Rutgers that plays on the A's. It led to a lot of crazy conversations on the air today. And so, kind of like related to a few things yesterday we were talking about from the show, I'm kind of going show related here too. Worst injury you've ever had? It can be testicles, it can be your shoulder, it can be your ankle. I mean, you played sports growing up, right?
Yeah, the worst injury I had was on a bike though.
Okay.
So I was riding a bike, it was a brand new bike.
Give me an age.
14, I would say, 13 okay. or 14. And I was riding downhill pretty fast, and I slammed on the front brake, which is, I was going as fast as I possibly could, lost control, my feet like came off the pedals, and I slammed on the front brake, flipped over the handlebars, landed on my chin, and I was luckily enough, close enough to home, that somebody saw me, there's a stranger, saw me, and he's like, do you live around here? I said, yeah, I'm right down the block, walked me home, and, you know, walked the bike next to me. I didn't realize how hurt I was until I saw my mother's face when she saw me, because I had blood all over my shirt, and she knew right away. So I got stitches in my chin, but that wasn't the worst of it. The worst of it was that I slammed my jaw so hard that I cracked two of my teeth, and the broken tooth shards jammed right back into my gums.
Oh.
So my father, who's an orthodontist, was looking at my mouth and he saw my teeth still in there, whole. He's like, no, there's no problem. And then my face starts swelling up. And he's like, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with my mouth.
Because you didn't feel right.
Yeah, I didn't feel right. But it was a couple of days. He kept looking. So finally they did an x-ray and they saw that the teeth were cracked. They were still stuck in there, but they must have cracked and then gotten shoved back in. So I had to have both teeth removed. And now I have two half teeth in the back of my mouth. I have one of them's replaced. The other one I just never got done because I didn't need to.
And how did they get the teeth out of your gums?
They had to pull them out.
That's what they pulled out.
Yeah, they had to pull out the shards, the half broken teeth.
Are you awake for that?
I was awake. There was numbing, but like I was awake for it. Yes.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it was awful. And my whole face got swollen and the whole thing got infected after a day or two. I was like, I'm telling you, there's something wrong, something going on with my mouth. And that's what it was. The chin and the stitches wasn't even the worst part of it, because whatever.
Yeah.
It was the impact on my mouth that was crazy. And I didn't ride a bike for a while after that.
I could see that.
Yeah, I was pretty scared after that.
Was there a close second? Or I was like, were you an easy kid girl? Like, I have friends whose kids I feel like are in the hospital every other day for a broken something. You know, and then I got friends whose kids, I mean, can play ice hockey and football and never get hurt. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, so wearing cleats with, like, obviously I've had every version of, like, turf toe and different turf injuries and ingrown toenails from wearing, like, the fake grass and cleat combination is just terrible. So that was, you know, that happened a bunch of times, but never to the point. I remember I had, like, I would always get it taken care of after the football season. I didn't want to miss time. So I never had, like, I don't think I've ever had a terrible injury. I never broke any bones to my knowledge.
Right.
So I think that's it. Like, I think that's the worst one. Obviously, you had the golf ball. Is that the worst one that you had?
No.
Really?
Not even close. That was bad. I mean, it was a lot of blood. That was, as it turned out, that was three stitches. That was four stitches, whatever.
Right.
Could
it's
have
a
been.
It's a scary area.
Yeah. And it could have been. I could have lost my eye. I mean, we've seen the photo a million times.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so close to my eye socket that it could have been horrible. No, I would say I've told the story about breaking my collarbone. That one was probably the most painful thing I've ever gone through. and I lost my entire summer. That also happened in, I believe it was early June. And that was like a, no, you know what? That was July, because that was the summer I got heavy into tennis, because all I did was watch Wimbledon and then the U.S. Open morning to night. And yeah, I was probably like 19, it was either 89 or 90. I was 15 or 16 when that happened, because I was on the moped. So breaking the collarbone, which, it's funny, I'm 52 now, and there are days, sometimes it's weather-related, maybe humidity, I don't know what it is, where it just, my arm just hurts. And when I've said that, I know I've told this story before, but when they set the bone back, it wound up setting and kind of taking to one another on top of one another instead of the way it was supposed to. So when I went in a month after the accident, they wanted to re-break it, essentially, and reset it. I said, no. And, you know, I asked, well, what's the problem? Well, you might have some pain later in life, but other than that, you'll be fine. I'm like, I'm good then. So now it's later in life.
Yeah.
It's nothing unbearable, but I feel it, especially and considering you never feel anything over here. But there are days it's like, damn, like, what is wrong?
And does it bother you when you're golfing or anything?
No. No, the bigger thing with the golf is the tennis elbow
right.
that I can't seem to get rid of because I never stop playing with my son.
Right.
Even in the winter we play. So yeah, until I stop.
My father had to stop playing tennis because of that. Because
I believe it.
He's an orthodontist at the time. He was doing so much work with his hands and arms. Like, he couldn't risk having the tennis elbow. Now he does a lot more office work. So it's sure. not as, you know, so it wouldn't affect him as much. I wonder if he would get back into tennis. But no, other than that, like, I remember specifically on a kickoff return one time, it was like the first play of the game. And so this was annoying. I was out for the rest of the game, but it wasn't anything major. But I was just running towards a blocker and I took one step to try and like pivot and avoid them. And I felt something go like jelly in my knee.
Really?
And that was like, I didn't go back in that game because it didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't painful. And then I, you know,
and
got
it went
checked
away.
Out. It was fine.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes that knee still has, because what they said is it could be like a very minor tear or something that like, so that knee sometimes if I'm playing a lot of sports in a row will still get sore. But no, I can't.
So you were a pretty easy kid then, physically.
Yeah.
So I, now think of this compared to you. So I broke my right foot. I tore, I didn't rupture, I tore my Achilles, which was very painful as well. I fractured my right knee. I broke at least two ribs playing football, for sure. At least two ribs.
Yeah.
I broke my wrist. I broke my collarbone. This scar you'll see right there, which is pretty big, that went through a glass window, and they had to rush me to the hospital to get that closed up before I bled out. That was a bad one. So I've had, like, numerous. This was a good one. I ran into a pole and broke my leg.
Oh, God.
Yeah. How about that one?
So
I was 9 years old playing Pop Warner football, and the complex where we practiced were two baseball fields, one in this corner, one in this corner, and we practiced right through the outfield of the two.
Right.
So at the end of the night, you would run around on the perimeter of this whole thing. We had to do it like five times. Well, behind the backstop of this one here, the one on the far side, there was like a 3-foot steel pole. No idea to this day why it was there or what it was for. I'm sure it had some purpose. No idea. And on this one, as the season wore on, they would start to put the lights on. Well, this was more like late September, early October, where we weren't quite ready for the lights, but it was starting to get dark. And practice ran late, and we ran in the dark, and I ran right into it.
I broke
my kneecap.
So that's more like my brother. My younger brother had a bunch of, like, always running into stuff and just different injuries like that. Although it does remind me, this morning I cut myself on glass.
Great.
Yeah. And I did. I was like, all right, I don't have time to get it checked out. Like, I can't call out at 2:45, so I'm just going to throw
You can. Willie Colon called out because he had gout.
That's true. That's
his
true.
First day.
Right, exactly. But I wasn't going to put fleas in that spot, you know, because that would have just been a...
You would have been great content, though, for today.
I know.
Great content.
I know. Cut myself so I didn't come in. The only other lasting injury I have is just so weird, but on my middle finger on my left hand, I got it stepped on playing sports, which
that happens.
And my finger is still like, it's so messed up. When it happened, there was like pus coming out of the, like, inside the nail, but now it's still like my fingernail just looks raw off.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
That is gross.
Yeah.
The other thing from the show that I thought was very interesting today was Greg's conversation about, you know, the Broadway show with his mom. And I don't like Broadway. I don't dislike Broadway. I just, I go, I would say, gosh, every 4 or 5 years. But it led me more to the thought of just, and I was telling you, I have an event on August 28th, and it's a, I don't mind going, but the getting home is like insane. Anything in this area, and I know the traffic ain't great in Southern California and San Francisco, and I'm sure in Boston it's bad everywhere. It is so like just, it's restrictive.
Yes.
Like trying to do anything around here is so difficult. And the idea of like him talking or discussing the fact of getting home and how long it will take them when they get out of the show or out of dinner, it's like, I understand, it's his mom's 80th birthday, you're going to do it, and you deal with it. But, like, I understand the anxiety people have
100%.
Of not wanting to be in this city because of not the event itself, but everything surrounding the event.
Exactly. And especially with the hours that we have to get up, and you're looking and you're racing the clock, like, oh.
Big deal.
Like, you have to get home by a certain time, so you get to sleep by a certain time. There are a couple of things. So, first of all, like, next week, I think I'm going to stay in the city one day. Also, it's a birthday, and like I'm going to stay and probably just go out because it's something to do. But then you start to hit a certain hour where getting home takes forever, and you have to start taking that into account. It's like, do I make that decision? The other thing is, when I lived in Baltimore, I think about this all the time. I was 7 minutes away from the radio station, 15 minutes away from Camden Yards or M&T Bank Stadium when I needed to go there, and that was it. And now I can't leave the house without having to drive at least a half hour.
Easy.
And it's an hour to get here and back. That's 2.5 hours of my day just in the car automatically.
Yeah.
Like before I do anything. So I think about those years that I was in Baltimore, I felt like I had so much more time. I did. I had 2.5 hours more every single day.
For sure.
While I was working at the radio station because 5 minutes away from home. And then when I had to go to the stadiums, that was 15 minutes. And that's it.
I know, so like this week, the Mets are home for the Dodgers this weekend, I believe, and then they're home next week. And I want to go.
Right.
Because I love, I really do. I know a lot of people at this radio station seem to hate sports now. It's whatever. It's bizarre to me, but that's fine. You do you. I love going to games.
Same.
I really do. I enjoy it. I enjoy being in the arenas. I enjoy being in the stadiums. And I actually enjoy the games. But I don't know. And my kids like going, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm like City Field on, let's say, a Tuesday night. First of all, by the eighth inning, I got to go stand by the tunnel.
Yeah.
Because as soon as the game goes final, I am sprinting to my car to get the hell out of there so I can get home by 10:30 if I'm lucky, so I can get a 3 hour nap in, 4 hour nap in, which is another. But that aside, like the thought of, let's see, 7:10 first pitch. I don't like walking in when the game starts. I hate that. You pay for a game, I want to see the game.
Of course.
Which means I want to be in my seat at 6 o'clock. What am I leaving at, 3:30?
Right. But even today, think about this. I would drive up. For me, it makes sense. I could drive up to the Bronx for the Yankee Day game.
Sure.
Right? Split doubleheader.
Great game to go to, too. Probably nobody there.
Right. I would love to go today. But then I'm thinking, like, that means that I'm not getting home till I'm sitting in an hour and a half at least of rush hour.
Yeah, you're
home
at
traffic. 7
p.m. Yeah. We're 6:30.
Right.
I know. Not,
right. Like, if I could guarantee that I'll be home by 4:30 p.m., of course I would go. But the game's going to end at 4, probably, maybe 3:30.
Around 4, a little before 4, yeah.
I'm not getting home before 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know how you would. If you stay till the end, even if, and I'm trying to, so this was a scheduled 105 game. Is the makeup game tonight?
I think the makeup game is tonight.
So that would be the game that would have less fans, I would think.
Theoretically.
So you should have a decent crowd this afternoon. And if you stay for the whole thing, there's no way.
No chance.
Not at all.
I know because I did it when they played the Tigers a day game a couple weeks ago. I wanted to go to that game. My wife's from Michigan. She met me there. So we both went. She was, you know, Tigers fan, Yankee, but great. We went to the game. I didn't get home till 6:30.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. By the way, you look terrible. You look like you're
falling apart in front of my eyes. You know what's funny? As the show went on, I was the opposite. Fleek started to feel worse. I started to feel better. I really do feel a lot better. Now, the same thing happened yesterday. I started to feel better. Then I took a nap when I got home, and I felt terrible when I woke up. So I'm not napping today. I'm going to push through and then go to sleep. But yeah, something's in my throat. So.
It's not good.
No, it's not great. And I feel bad because, like, I don't want to get other people sick, but...
You will never upset me if you stay home because you're sick. I think it is asinine when people come in when they're sick. But that's
the show has become. You want content.
I don't care.
Right.
You
I
make
know.
Fun of me all you want. Go F yourself. Lastly, and we'll keep this short since you're not feeling great. So a no kids, no desire whatsoever to be on the air, was very happy doing what he did for 35 or four, I don't even know how many years along, 38 years, whatever it was, and riding off into the sunset. I look at you as the opposite. I look at you as, how old are you, 28?
I'm 28, yes.
You're 28. I can't imagine you still sitting in that seat in 2 years. What is your vision? Like, what's your plan? Great job, for sure.
Yeah.
But this isn't what you want to do. What's your plan?
Goals change, that's first of all. And I think, like, and I talked about this when Spike was here and I was getting a lot of on-air opportunities, that was obviously the goal. Like, I wanted to be on air in some capacity full-time within a few years. But that said, I didn't think that that seat was realistic.
Okay, right, right. And I mean, you always wondered if Eddie would actually ever quit, right?
Well, I didn't know. And then to me, there were so many people ahead of me that I was like, okay, mm-hmm. there's no shot that I'd actually get that job. And then once that became kind of more like real,
a reality.
Right, that became a reality. Not only did it become a reality, but the on-air stuff kind of went away. And I talked to David about training with Eddie. That kind of became a goal in and of itself. Now, obviously, like you said, that's not the end goal for me. But at the same time, the exposure that this show has and the reach that this show has, both on TV nationally and then also locally, just how big the show is, I feel like career-wise, staying at least as long as Boomer's here, but then even beyond that, depending on what happens, you know, might be the best career decision for me. Now, if somebody comes to me and is offering me something fantastic before then I'd have to seriously consider it. But like I said, the goal changes. I still, yes, want to be on air in some capacity. I can't live the life that I actually want to live on the salary that this show comes with, that job comes with.
Sure.
And, you know, that's part of it. It's not like for me still at this point, it's not about the money. And plus the bump up in money from doing part-time shifts here and there to what I'm getting now was significant enough that obviously it was well worth it. But I can't live on this for long term, especially if I do want to have kids and raise a family. It's just not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond the money, I think I could be, I don't know, but I think I could be on air in some capacity. I think I would be good enough and entertaining enough. But at the same time, I don't want to leave something that I think is very successful. So it would have to be the right opportunity if it came along before I feel like I saw this portion of my career through.
Fair.
But the way I see it is I'm 28 years old. If I can build my brand alongside, you know, this show where I'm building my own brand, whether that's with a podcast, social media, any of those other things, and then simultaneously working on the show where I gain the notoriety, there are people who, they know his name. You know, I'm involved a little bit more, whether it's on air or not, doing these podcasts, whatever it is, in some capacity, my name is mentioned on this show and people start to know.
Can only help.
What was that?
It can only help.
Yeah, exactly. And so to me, seeing, you know, having that to kind of grow my platform and then simultaneously trying to put in some work, we'll see where we are in a couple of years.
You know, it's interesting you talk about growing the platform, and we'll wrap it up because you really are deteriorating in front of me.
It's crazy though, because I feel fine.
You might feel fine. You sound terrible. Yeah, and you're choking on your own vomit and phlegm.
It's just phlegm.
You know what I mean? The one thing, so I've got a couple of things trying to do outside of the business, essentially. And I know, like, social media is a way to push different things. I want no part of it, though. That's the difference between being 28 and maybe, it's not even my age, because, you know, there's guys that are in their 50s and 60s that love this. So I just don't like it.
Right.
I don't care for the constant with the phone. It's too much. It's just,
you
I have to, going on in my life.
You have to take the good with the bad with it. Like,
yeah, I know.
I try to be half in, half out. Somebody reached out to me and said,
hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They wanted to do this for a career, and they were, you know, starting a social media page, but they don't want it on their phone. They'll put it on the tablet, and then once in a while, they'll check it when they want to post. And I was like,
you're either in or you're out.
Yeah, you
I know,
can't do
I
it.
Know.
It sucks, but like you can't do it. And mine is so bad where it's constant. And like for me, scrolling, like I talk about this, my doom scroll, whether it's when I get up you know, in the morning in bed or when I get here. Like, that, for me, that's part of the show. That's show prep for me, because there are things that are not in the algorithm of the older guys here, you know, GOU, Boomer.
The
that,
older guys,
but
I
that's,
love it.
But that's who,
no,
what it
fact.
Is.
It's a fact, of
that,
course.
That I
it just sounded funny.
Yeah, that I'm going to see that I think would be good for sure. The show. And I've had, and, you know, this is cool that it happened, but a couple people already DM me like, hey, we've been listening for a long time. We're younger. We're closer to your age. And you bring a younger flavor to the show. We feel it. Like, so that, to me, like, that was motivating. Like, okay, I should keep doing that. I should keep looking for different things and different angles and different stories that would be fun for, you know, maybe people in their 20s and 30s, in addition to obviously the audience that we already have. So it's like, it's not just posting that you need to do on social media. It's also interacting and engaging,
right,
because that's how you grow and that's how you see what's popular.
Okay.
You see what, right. And if you don't
that's the problem.
If you don't want to do that, then you can't, like,
but
you can't,
and yet you have to. And yet you really have to.
Yeah.
That's
it's all in or all out. And
yeah.
So that's why I told this kid, I said, you want to put it on the iPad and check it for an hour a day? You're just not, there's no real benefit to that. Even if you're posting like clips from your show or whatever you do, it's not going to get any real traction. And
like BT and Sally, I think you're doing a really good job, like on their own.
Yeah. And I talked to Bada Booms a lot. Like, that kid is awesome. The kid who produces Sal's show.
Yeah.
And he's so funny and he's good with the social media. So he knows what he's doing. He's asked me, like, I've talked to him for hours, like, you know, on how to help him grow their socials and different video formats and styles.
Yeah.
And he's done a ton well beyond what I've told him. So, like, I don't want to take credit for it, but he's fantastic at what he does. But he'll ask me, like, hey, what about this? What do you think about that? And he's, again, he's younger than I am. So he's even ahead of me. You know what I mean? But I do the same thing. I have a brother-in-law who's 20 years old. I'll ask him about different social media things because, again, he's
younger.
He knows more. Yeah. So I'm always trying to lean on him and see what he's got.
All right, go feel better. That's going to do it for today.
I will.
I'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. We'll have the
see
show
who's
at
in
6.
The other room.
And then that's true.
I'll
and
be here.
Well, I will tell you, I don't believe I can do the podcast tomorrow because I have to go to Rutgers quickly after work. So I might ask you, and if you guys are here, if you guys will do the podcast tomorrow.
Right.
And if you guys don't feel well, we'll figure it out. But enjoy, feel better, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I would guess, just a guess here, 45% chance Fleeks is actually here tomorrow.
Okay.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, he didn't
at.
Look good.
No, he was deteriorating as the show went on. I think I'll be here, but questionable about Fleeks.
All right, feel better, and we'll see you later. You can got the goodbye, and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
See ya!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.